This is where I'm going to start. We're going to start off. Parsha's Lech Lecha. So the very beginning of the Parsha obviously starts off with the first test. The first test that Avraham Avinu is mentioned to have had. Kivshin Eish doesn't make them to the Parshios. Machlokes is the Kivshin Eish is a test in and of itself. But Vayomer Hashem Avraham, Hashem says to Avraham. Right. It for sure would be. But whether it's mentioned is one of them. Lech Lecha, Me'artzcha, Me'molatzcha, Me'besavicha, Ala'or Tashar Reka. Go for yourself from your land and from your birthplace, from the place when from your father's house, the place that I show you. I'm going to bring you over to a land that I will show you. The land that I show you. Alright, so Avraham Avinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why? And simply put, to become rich, to get famous, and to have many kids. So where's the test? If somebody goes up to you and says, I'll give you a job, I'll make sure that you're unbelievably rich and famous, you'll be mentioned in the newspaper all the time, and you're going to have really good kids. That's not a test. There's no test involved in something like that. Granted, he was 75 years old, and at 75 that was a long trek for somebody 75 years old, but still, that's not a test. Anyone would do the exact same thing. Who wouldn't do this? Who wouldn't pass this test?
Yeah, but I mean, somebody tells you...
Guaranteed, but he's guaranteed this guy.
Yeah, but somebody tells you, move into Chicago and go to, like, Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska is nice, but this is Eretz Yisrael where there still were a lot of people there.
But I understand. Well,
there were still many people there. Eretz Canaan was known.
Yeah, like the bad people, the Canaanites.
Granted, but that was Avraham Avinu's job. He knew that. I hear the answer. It's not a bad answer. I'm just telling you, it's a strange thing. So the Midrash brings down even Akasha. It says, what was a harder test? Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, to go from your land over here? Or the Lech Lecha at the end by the Akedah, when he was told to go to Eretz Amoria? What kind of a question is that? You're sacrificing your kid versus becoming famous and having kids? That's your question, which one is a harder test? How could it be possible that this test was a harder one than that one was? So Rav Yashiv points out, and this is the famous answer, Kolatz Kolos Kashos. Anytime you start off doing something, it's always really, really hard. So that means that the ikur is to break your taiva, the ikur is to break the ikupim that don't allow you to do anything that you want to do. The idea is avera goros avera, mitzvah goros mitzvah. If you start off some way well, then eventually you'll come to do other mitzvahs and you'll do better and better and better. If you start off badly, then you're going to do worse and worse and worse, and that's the idea. It's going to be too much for you to handle. The very first nisayon is always the hardest one for a person to have. Granted, it's easy in the beginning. It's easy as time goes on. But the first time you have to do it, you have to go off in the right direction and make sure you don't mess up. That was hard. That was the problem. But in order to be matzliach, you got to start. And that's the idea of what we're trying to say over here. That the very first test was the hardest one because it was the first time you had to speak to anybody. That was the biggest issue. Rav Moshe Feinstein points out another point. You know, people travel all over because they might make money. You know, you go from one place to the other because you might make money. You know, weird places in the middle of Wyoming, the middle places of, you know, Colorado, for nursing homes. Yeah, you're around anywhere. Because you might make money there. You have stakos, but you're sure. Here's a Vagai, why wouldn't he go? Says the Nisayan here is not that he went. Because anybody would have gone. Everybody here would have chosen to go when you're promised these promises. The challenge over here is to not think to yourself, why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give me everything right here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, you're going to have food, you're going to have fame, you're going to have money, and you're going to have kids if you go to Eretz Canaan. But if you don't, if you stay here, you're not going to have anything. Why can't you give me everything right here? That thought should immediately enter your head. Why should I go anywhere? Just give it to me right here. Does God really care where I am? Does it really matter than going to Eretz Canaan? Remember, Eretz Yisrael did not have that special, you know, that uniqueness that it had later on. He wasn't even promised Eretz Yisrael just yet. Not until later on in the Parsha. So what does that mean? Why would I have to leave Haran in order to get there? And don't tell me that it's because the Canaanim are better than the people from Haran. We know how evil the Canaanim are. We know how good the people from Haran were, clearly following after Avraham Avinu and doing everything that Avraham Avinu said.
I'm not sure I get that question.
Yeah.
Because clearly if God's telling you to do something, I mean, you can't... I don't understand how you could even justify asking...
It's an automatic thought. It's something that just pops into your head. Pops into your head. God tells you to do something, and he tells you why. He tells you a why. He doesn't just tell you to do it. He tells you why you're doing it. That's the problem. Once God tells you the why...
I know that God says, if I go somewhere, it's dependent on my going there. God's telling me to do this. If I do that, it's dependent on that. So it's not like the question. I don't get the question.
Says Rav Moshe, the Nisayan is to be able to think things, to not think things through when God tells you something. The Akedah was the exact same way. You might think to yourself, oh, maybe he meant this, maybe he was trying to say this, maybe he was trying to get at that. It's not, don't think. Just do, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you to do it. That was the test, And that was the reason why it was a question between the first and the last one. He obviously passed both. But it was a question of not thinking through and saying to himself, why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu do this? Why wouldn't Hashem tell me to do that? That type of an idea.
Do we have any idea how clear the Nevuah of the Avos were?
The least clear out of anyone since Moshe Rabbeinu. The least clear. He had, Avraham Avinu had probably the lowest level of Nevuah possible. It's a Chassam Sofer in the Shalos HaTshuvos by Or HaChaim in the Ketuvei Chosam. He says that Avraham Avinu did not deserve to have Nevuah, and God gave him a gift to have Nevuah, to have a little bit of that idea of Nevuah. It's a crazy idea. I'm going to tell you something right now. I saw this. You know, everybody makes this mistake. They say that Avraham Avinu was going down to Mitzrayim. Obviously, he didn't last in Eretz Yisrael, and that's a discussion for another time why he went down to Mitzrayim. But he went down to Mitzrayim, and he saw Sarimenu through the river. Everybody knows the Rashi, right? That he looked inside the river, saw the reflection of Sarimenu, and he said, "Hineinu yadati ki isha yifas mara'at." And they translate that as, "Now I know that you're such a beautiful woman." The word "na" never means the word "now." It doesn't mean that anywhere. "Na" means please. It's here. I see that you're a beautiful woman. So the question that's asked of, well, did he not never look at her? Seems to be a bit of a strange question. Because he's always seen her. Just now he's saying, behold, I just remembered or I just realized you're a beautiful person. That's really what it is. It's not that all of a sudden now I'm seeing you for the very first time. But regardless, even if he always knew, what was the issue? Why didn't Avraham Avinu think of this before he went down to Mitzrayim? And this is clearly a major issue. You have an unbelievably beautiful wife, and the Mitzrayim are very, very evil people. They're going to kill you if they know that you're married to this woman, and after that, they're going to grab your wife and they're going to do terrible things to her. Why wouldn't you think of that before going down to Mitzrayim? You're halfway down there, you're right by the river, and then he keeps going. He's like, yeah, this is really going to be bad. All right, let's go. Just stop. Turn around. Find another way. Why not go back to Haran? You're going to go down to Mitzrayim? What's going on here? What in the world is going on? So we've spoken in the previous years about Maisa Avo Simon Labanan, what he was trying to do, and how to get in the whole box issue, putting her in a box. Who puts their wife in a box? It's just like, yo, they won't find her there. Can you imagine what they were thinking when they opened it up, and they were like, what in the world? They're like, yeah, it's not my wife. It's such a strange thing. Such a strange thing to do. So we've spoken about that in previous years, but here, it's a little bit different. Rav Shur says an unbelievable line that he knew she was beautiful, but what he thought was that it wasn't beauty as in physical beauty. It was a chut shel chesed, that he loved her so much because she was such a great person. A chut shel chesed, this string of chesed, pulled everyone to her. Everyone was attracted to her, not of her physical beauty, but for her spiritual beauty. They saw a spiritual beauty in her that nobody else had, and they said, that person is an unbelievably good person. Unbelievably good. Oh, so that's what Avraham Avinu thought. When we go down to Mitzrayim, Hashem's not going to let that chesed show. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to allow her to be sin, you know, to have a sin happen because of her chut shel chesed. So it'll all be good because she's not physically, he thought, she's not physically beautiful, just a chut shel chesed, everything's all good. Then he saw her reflection in the river. Then he looked at her and realized, she really has physical beauty as well. It's not just the chesed that I'm seeing. It's not that she's good looking to me, said Avraham Avinu. She's good looking to everybody. Well, now we got a problem. Now we got a problem. So here's the kasha. The Nesivos HaMishpat, Rabbi Yaakov Nilisa, quotes the Arizal, Mikisvei HaArizal, and he asks the following. He says, you never think of the Nesivos quoting an Arizal, sort of like the Gra quoting the Baal Shem Tov. It just doesn't happen very often. But the Gra once went to a certain shul. When he went to that shul, he davened, and he felt that his tefillos were going straight up to Shemayim. He felt that his tefillos were like he was mamish by the Kisei HaKavod. So he did a little bit of research and realized that in that place where he was davening, a great gadol from a couple centuries earlier used to daven. That was the area that he used to daven. And he realized, makom goren, that the place where you're sitting has an effect on you, has a real big effect on you. Now, it's very hard to say this, because to say this about Avraham Avinu is, you know, who are we to say such a thing? But because he was so close to a makom tameh, Avraham Avinu, with all of his tzidkus and everything there, he thought that his tzidkus the tzidkus of Sarimin would be able to save her from the tomb of Mitzrayim. But when he went down to Mitzrayim, he looked in the river, and for some reason, at this moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him see the beauty of Sarimenu, he realized that he was affected. He was affected by the tumah that he was about to go to. It's not stam that some people are able to go to Jewel and not even notice that there are magazines that are standing right there by the counter. Some people are just tremendously affected by the TVs, the little TVs. But the little, right, as if we don't know, right? But it's not stam that some people are able to go to Jewel and not notice them. Other people are attracted to them. They have their eyes there. if there's a makom tameh, if there's a place where there's tumah involved, then automatically it should have somewhat of an effect, a bigger effect on people that are more inclined to it, a lesser effect on those that are less inclined to it, but it will affect you in some way, shape, or form. As he was going down to Mitzrayim, Avraham Avinu's eyes were affected adversely by what was happening in Mitzrayim. So even though up until now, he had not looked at Sar Yimino and never even thought of it, says the Nesivos from the Arizal, now as he was going down, he got affected. And at that moment, he realized the protection that Sarah Yemenu always had, the ability that she had to stay taller and not allow anybody to look at her, will not remain when they're in Mitzrayim. And the Makom Tuma will affect them both, and something's going to happen. That's when Avraham Avinu said, it's time to take drastic measures.
How is that possible if he grew up in Ur Kasdim and he Avraham is Ovdei Avodah Zarah? What, no, there was no tumor on her?
There's a lot of issues behind the Ovdei Avodah Zarah back then, as well, and the Arias of the time before. As we see from Rashi, when Rashi quotes down by Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu saw the shepherds, and he kissed Rachel Imenu. So Rashi alludes to it, the Me'am Lois says it straight out, that the shepherds yelled at Yaakov Avinu and said, how could you kiss this girl? Even though Rachel Imenu was 3 and he was 77. I mean, that's a big difference. But he said, they yelled at him, and they said, how could you do this? Since the Mabul, we've been Gadur Me'Arias. We've stayed away from Arias. We've stayed away from Arias as much as we could. And you're doing this? And you're doing such a thing? They yelled at Yaakov, you know, the shepherds that were working in Aram. So it could very well be that those areas were Gadur Me'Arias, and they didn't have that issue. That Avinu grew up around burkas. I think that's what they're called. And I don't know what they're called. All the things that go around their faces.
Could probably be they were. As a reflection, she wasn't wearing a burqa.
Oh, at that time she was drinking. That's why he saw the reflection. I've never been an Arab woman, but I'm pretty sure it's really hard to drink if you don't open up that thing and like put your face to it. But that was the exact thing. I've never really tried. But you know, I'm sure that was, you know, drinking like this, it doesn't always work. I would assume. That for sure. No question about that. I mean, I do that with my wife nowadays, but that's too much. Let's not go through this now. Anyway, similarly, in the beginning of the Parsha, it says very clearly, it says when Avraham Avinu was going through, it says, Vaknani oz ba'arex, pasuk vav, and then the Kananim were then in the land. So just the Kananim, though. Later on, as he comes back to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, he goes back, going up to the Negba, and he says he went to the Melkom, he's back that he was originally, and it says when they were talking about Lot, it says, Vayiriv ben roi mikne Avraham, ben roi mikne Lot, there was a fight between the shepherds and the shepherds, Vaknani da Prezi as Yoshe Baris. And the Kanani and the Prezi were then living in the land. So what happened? What happened to the Prezi? And why do we need to know that? Who cares? Why are we mentioning the Prezi here and we don't mention it? So what's going on? Rav Wolfson says that it's the same basic idea. Why were the Prezi there? Because the Prezi decided to come in and they fought the Kananim. They wanted to take over that land that the Kananim were in. So they started a fight. So you'd think to yourself, says Rav Wolfson, that there would be, since there was already a fight in that area, whenever something that's Tameh happens in that area that causes other Tameh things to happen. Why was there a fight between Avraham Avinu's shepherds and Lot's shepherds? Why was there a fight between them? Because there was previously a fight there between the Kananim and the Prezim that affected the entire land, that affected Avraham Avinu and Lot's Roim, and that's the reason why. It's not a raya. I mean, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the fight to happen to get rid of Lot. That's a very good possibility. But the idea of the makom goreim, of that place affecting you, having that effect, is for sure something to do with what's going on here. But that brings us to our next subject. Lot. Is there any stranger character in all Tanakh? Nothing stranger. He has the same gematria as Adam. And I actually saw a shot last year as to why he was, that there was a connection between him and Adam Rishon. The guy tried saying, I shouldn't say the guy, whoever it was that wrote this was trying to say that there was a Gilgal involved between Adam and Lot. There wasn't, at least according to the Gilgulim song that are written by accepted post-game, you know, but that's that. But there's no connection. Just because your name is the same, like my name is Tzvi, it's 102, it's Nankamashra's Gehenim. That doesn't mean I'm going to Gehenim. it's not a guarantee. It's just, you know, it's a possibility, but it's not exactly going to happen there. Either way, you know, it's off by one, but it's okay, because Kolel, right? Either way, but the Lot, what's going on with them? What's going on with them? So how do you understand Lot? So it says in the beginning of the Parsha, Vayelech he tow Lot, that Lot went with him. So that sounds really unbelievable. If it's an Nisayon for Avraham Avinu to go to Eretz Yisrael, when he's told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to be rich, you're going to have lots of stuff, you're going to have kids, and yet it's an Nisayon, a test, to go to Eretz Canaan, what about Lot? Lot never got the Nevuah. Lot was never promised anything, and he went with Avraham Avinu. Why did he go? Why isn't that mentioned? That's a great Nisayan. He was tested unbelievably. And he went. He went with Avraham Avinu. Why isn't that? It doesn't sound like Avraham Avinu. Afterward, it says, Vayikach Avraham Esar Yishuv Es Lo Ben Achiv. But the first thing is, Vayilchi to Lo. Lo went with him. Lo was willing to go to Eretz Canaan. Where's the Nisayan? Why don't we mention that Lo was able to do it? Okay.
Well, then you'd like to rely on Avraham for support?
Ah, so that must be it. The Bali Musar give a mashal. Can I give you a mashal? Little parable. This never happened. It could have happened. I can't guarantee. The guy puts on a parka. Huge winter coat, right? Puts on like a big, you know, one of those fur hats. Scarf all around his face. Puts his gloves on, his huge boots on. He goes outside. It's freezing, freezing cold outside. Like negative 10 degrees. We're talking Russian winters, right? And he's going outside. It's a blowing snowstorm. It's way before dawn. Way before dawn. And he gets up and he goes straight to the bakery. He starts baking bread. And he's baking every bread for the yeshiva that's down the block, for the yeshiva kids who aren't going to have any food otherwise. He goes ahead and he bakes bread for them. Every single morning he gets up and he does it in the freezing cold. Eventually he warms up to it and things are okay. But at first, he's just freezing cold. And he goes in and he bakes the bread. What a chesed, right? Unbelievable chesed. You'd say that man is a tzaddik gomer. What an unbelievable tzaddik that he's baking bread for these yeshiva bachurim and he's making sure that they have food and everything. But I left out one part of the story. What did I leave out? He got paid. Yeah, he was paid for it. Well, it's no longer a chesed. Now it's like, it's a business. You know, then it's like, oh, wow, you woke up early in the morning. Okay, I expect you're making your money. That's when you got to wake up. What are you going to do? You can wake up at 9 and then get there and be like, yeah, forget about breakfast this morning, guys. You're not going to get paid. So he's only doing it for the payment. So here's the deal with Lot. Avraham left Haran with everything, the esrechushim, this kol rechushim asher rakashu, and all the money that they had made. He went out with all the money that they had done. That's the reason why Lot went. Lot didn't go out of chesed. Lot didn't go because he was like, oh, Avraham Avinu, you are the ikker, you are the world, I believe in you and you are number one to me, I'm going to do everything that you do. That's not why Lot went. Lot went because of the money. Lot went because there was money involved. And he saw that Avraham Avinu was getting successful. He saw the amount of people that were following Avraham Avinu, and Lot was a follower. He realized that. And he went out to wherever he was going to go. And how do we know this? Because what did he do at the end? When they got into a fight, where did he go? Monday. He went to Highland Park. I mean, he went to the land of stone. That was good, right? I tried to pick a city that I didn't know any Jews that were from, so it worked out really well. But he went out to the city of... Oh, there's Jews. No, the Jews that I know. Yeah, we're okay. Anyway, but he went out still. A chance to grow in wealth and fame on his own without anybody else there to be able to do everything there. He's no longer a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, seemingly. And in fact, when he left, he went in the exact opposite direction. That's what Avraham Avinu was saying. Wherever you go, I'll go the opposite way. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Avraham Avinu obviously went to the right and Lot to the left. But it's the idea that Lot went in the exact opposite direction that Avraham Avinu was. Now, Avraham Avinu saw that and got unbelievably upset. It's not mentioned in the Pesukim, but it's clear that Avraham Avinu was not happy with what happened with Lot. Until now, he had accepted the fact that even though he had no natural children, that he wasn't able to have children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not granted him anything, even though he was promised, he assumed that the children that he was supposed to have were Talmidim, because those are also called your banim. Those are also called sons. So he assumed that those Talmidim were going to be his children. That was perfectly fine. He was fine with that. And he never had any problems. He never had any questions. He never asked anything. And that was it. But now when Lot left, he got very afraid. He said, this is what's happening to my Talmidim. This is where my Talmidim are going. They're not staying with me. I thought that Lot, my nephew, was with me all the way. He was my number one fan. He's the guy that went with me from Haran to Eretz Canaan. And I was fooled. Look at him now. He's now living in stone. I was dead wrong. I can't believe how wrong I was. That Avraham, he started going down. He started thinking to himself, oy vey, if that's what happened to Lot, then what's going to happen with everything else? And that's the question he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry. Scharcha harbe mode at the end of Sodom, with everything else. Scharcha harbe mode. And Yom Avram, Hashem Elokim, matitin lev, anyuchay holei chariri. What are you giving me if I'm going to be childless? Uven meshek besu, domestic Eliezer. The best I have is Eliezer of Avram. I thought Eliezer of Avram was awesome. After all, domestic stands for dola umashke, umashke tayro. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Avram's Yeshiva. He figured, I still have Talmidim, everything will be okay. At least I'll have somewhat done him. I'll have some type of children. But now I see that's not true. These banim don't last. I can't have this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need children. It wasn't a complaint as in, God, what's going on? Why haven't you given me children yet? He understood that this is the children that he was supposed to have. The Talmidim were there. But he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's got to be something more. I'm losing it. I'm losing it. I don't have that ability to bring them back. And he's afraid that maybe at the end he'll have absolutely nobody. And he started to have Yeush. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you will have physical children and don't worry. but that explains why he did, according to the Ramban, a crazy chet. When the king of Sodom came up to Avraham and said, please, give me back the people of Sodom, and I'll give you the money. Avraham did an unbelievable thing. He gave him back the people of Sodom. To be what? To be destroyed a couple years later? Why wouldn't Avraham keep them and say to them, let's become Gerim together? He gave him back the people. He had the people. They were his Avadim. Avraham's Avadim now. Sodom, Amora, Adma, Tzvoyim, and Soar. The five cities of Sodom. They were all his Avadim right now. And the king of Sodom comes up to him and says, Rechush kach lo, take your money, give me back the people. And Avraham says, fine. He gives them back. What happened to Avraham Avinu? This is not what he does. He's supposed to take them for himself. He's supposed to be Megayer them. All of a sudden, he's giving them back to Sodom, and they were destroyed. Can you imagine the guilt that Avraham Avinu must have felt when he was davening for Sodom? I don't know. You can't say these things about Avraham Avinu, but Avraham Avinu must have felt. There's got to be a feeling that seems to be something that was a mess up. It seems to be something that he made a mistake on. The Ramban says it was. The Ramban says it was a chet. But now we can understand it maybe a little bit differently. He was worried that Lot was just like the people of Sodom. And the same way that Lot left him, he knew that the people of Sodom were the same way. On the outside, they might appear to wear tzitzis, and they might have tefillin on their heads, and they might do everything that they're supposed to do like Lot did. But on the inside, they're garbage. And he knew if that happened to Lot, that certainly was going to happen by the people of Sodom. I have no effect on these people. I can't do anything to these guys. You see that even Avraham Avinu gave up. Even Avraham Avinu thought that there are certain people that he can't affect. The Ramban calls it a chet. You know, Rav Moshe says, Usher Gummer to say such a thing. You cannot say that it was a chet. There's no way that you can say such a thing. He says that the Ramban is written by a Talmud and it wasn't really the Ramban. That's Rav Moshe in next week's Parsha. But regardless, he was punished. Nadarim Daflama Bezim and Aleph. That it was his idea. It seems that he was punished for this idea. Okay, imagine how much Avraham Avinu put into Lot. What happened after Lot left? Immediately God spoke to him again. Rashi says, up until now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to speak to him because Lot was such an evil guy. He said, I don't want to speak to such a person who's together with Lot. He was, can you imagine Avram's Mesiris Nefesh? It took him 75 years to get a Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe 70, if the Bris Fanbis song happened at 70. But either way, 70 or 75 years, he threw himself in the Kiv Shana Ish before he had any Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he had any prophecy whatsoever. He was willing to kill himself for a God that he wasn't really positive. He was positive. But he never saw. The existence thereof was a little bit strange to him.
He wasn't such a bad guy.
Hold on.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm getting to right now. He was Moser Nefesh in his Nevuah to allow Lot to come. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't speak to him until he left. Why? Because he al gedola achnas sorchem yosur mi pnei shechina. How? Yosur mi kabbalas pnei shechina. Greater to achnas sorchem than it is to greet the shechina. Tell me, how could Avraham Avinu have not affected Lot? The answer is, as you were just about to say, Aaron, he did.
He was a good guy.
He did affect him. He was a different type of guy. Yeah, he had taivas. And it seems like Lot's lost forever. Just remember, there was no one else in Sodom that would be Machnas Oreach. And Lot invited over the three Malachim, kept them in his house, and was willing to give, as disgusting as this sounds, but again, Makom Tuma is goring this, was willing to give his daughters over to a mob instead of giving up his guests over to that mob. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. The amount that he was willing to give in for Achnas Oreachim. Just remember that night he had matzahs on the table because it was Pesach night. He still had matzahs. He was still fat, even though Pesach hadn't happened yet. And even though his kids were never going to leave Mitzrayim. His kids were going to have nothing to do with it. He was clearly affected by Avraham Avinu. Clearly affected. And then when he ran away in next week's Parsha, he saves the city of Tzohar. He runs away and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save this one little city. Avraham Avinu is davening for 14 psukim. Please save this, please save that, please save this, please save that. And God's like, no. Lot is running away and he's like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save the city. God's like, alright, fine. Lot did it. I mean, 14 psukim that are wasted, so to speak, in the Torah over Avraham Avinu failing to save any one of the five cities. And Lot does it with a couple words. Can you please save it? It's such a small little city. Yeah, okay. Done. There's something that Lot had. You know why? Because there was a Kiddush Hashem that was made. No matter how much Lot tried to run away from Avraham Avinu, Lot was still known as Achi Avram. And Nimrod, who was on Raphael, the leader of the four kings, grabbed Lot, because he looked like Avram Avinu, and paraded him around, showing the people, saying, you remember Avram Avinu that was saved from the Egyptian age? Well, look who he's bowing down to now. And he grabbed Lot and he showed him. Some say that that was the only reason why he fought the five kings in the first place. The only reason why he went down to Sodom is because he knew Lot was there. And as soon as Lot separated from Avram Avinu, Nimrod came up with a plan. I can show everybody that I have Avram Avinu. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to have any idea that this guy's not Avram Avinu. They look alike. And he paraded him around, and that's why Avram Avinu fought. Avram Avinu's fighting? He's the man of chesed. Wouldn't he be that guy in the UN that's just like, we should talk to them peacefully? No! He fought to make sure that there was no Chilul Hashem that happened. No Chilul Hashem. By the way, it does tell you that a way of chesed, a man of chesed, knows that sometimes you should fight. And I said this earlier this week, and I hold this 100% true. There is no person in Tanakh that killed more people than Avram Avinu. And you could probably go through all of Tanakh and you could figure it out. Four kings with all of their armies were all destroyed by Avram Avinu. How? Dirt, thrown, arrows. Granted, it was miraculous. More people were killed by Avram Avinu than any other person in Tanakh, including David Amel, who killed 1,000 Plishtim in one war. That's impressive. There's not too many people like that.
Shimshon
also. He killed a couple thousand Plishtim. A couple thousand Plishtim.
10,000, yeah.
Oh, 13,000? How big do you think those Colosseums were like back then? They were able to be held up by two columns in the middle.
Yeah.
Kind of a Colosseum could be held up by two columns in the middle.
So wait, move them all the way down.
Can you imagine the guy, the architect who made that Colosseum? Who's just like, all right, but everything's going to be held onto these two pillars. You better not have a really strong prisoner. Like, what in the world the guy was thinking?
We still have no idea. We have no idea how many people
we have absolutely no idea. Although,
there
was a Gemara.
It says Avram had 318 soldiers who helped him.
What, 318 or just Eliezer?
For sure. Yeah.
If Eliezer still there, I will tell you one thing. There was a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says the same amount of people that went with Sancheriv to fight Chizkiyahu was the exact same amount of people that Avram Avinu fought against the four kings. So the Pashup shot in the Pasuk is 185,000 people. That's how many people were in that army, because that's what was in Sancheriv's army. But if you say the other way, that 185,000 were just the generals, you've got a massive army that Avram Avinu bought. Just say it's 185,000 people. He killed 185,000 people with dirt.
That's more than
who does that? It's a crazy thought. It's an unbelievably crazy thought. Yeah, it was. Oh, but remember, it says about the four kings that they were able to defeat the Rephaim. The Rephaim were supposed to be the other giants. Og was Miyesser HaRephaim. He was the last of the giants. So these guys were able to defeat all the giants. So no matter how big Og was, no matter how great he was, whatever it was, he still was just one man. But it was Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was a master. He's Bruce Lee. There's nothing to talk about. Like he is the guy. I guess that's dating myself. But regardless, he's the guy that was able to take down everyone without any problem. He's Superman. Yeah. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger in any movie you can think of without a gun. And that's what it basically is.
This literally means throwing dirt and the arrows coming at him?
That's what it seems like. The Rambam says no, that he scared people, that he picked up the dirt, and as he threw it at them, it hit them, and they're like, why is he throwing dirt at us? Oh, it must be arrows! Oh! And they died. they thought that they had been thrown arrows at, and they thought they made themselves die. That's a crazy chop in the Rambam. That's crazier than saying that the dirt turned into arrows. So I don't know what you want to say, but it's something. But let's try to explain this idea of Avram Avinu asking for kids. What he's trying to do with this. Well, this is going to be really the ending of how we're going to end it. He knew he was promised already, but he thought that that was for Talmidim. And this is the idea. There's two types of Yerushas that a person can get. There's Yerushas HaGuf, and there's Yerushas HaNefesh. Anyone can gain a Yerushas HaNefesh. All you have to do is connect yourself back to what that person teaches, what that person does, the Kedusha and the Maisim of Avram Avinu, and you can all of a sudden in your benching say Lavo Seinu. Even though you're a Ger, you can still connect back to Avram and say, he is our father. You can do that in Shemar Esrei as well. Elokeinu v'elokei avo seinu. Can a Ger say that? Yeah. How can he say Elokeinu v'elokei avo seinu? He's not our father. Yeah, a Ger can say it because you connect back spiritually to Avram Avinu. So all of a sudden you get the Yerusha of Avram Avinu. Bikurim also, it's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah in Bikurim that says it. But Jews have much more than that. Natural born Jews have more than just the Nefesh from Avram Avinu. There's something more. There's the goof of Avram Avinu. There's a goof that comes from Avram Avinu. Yerushas HaGuf. What's a Yerushas HaGuf? We have a special capacity for greatness. We have a special capacity to do more things than you can ever imagine. For tikkun. For an unbelievable tikkun. Nobody else has this. There's no one else like us that has that ability. Their connection. Their bris that they were given by Noah. What was their bris? That God promised them, I am going to be connected with you. What was the bris that was given to them?
Rainbow.
The rainbow. Where is the rainbow? In the sky. It's many times as you try going after it, looking for that pot of gold, you're never going to find it because it doesn't connect to the ground. It's always in the sky. It's always up there. It's nothing that they can reach. It's nothing that they can reach. Where's our bris? On our skin. Oh. On our own flesh. Our own flesh. It's on us. We have a bris milah. That's a very, very big difference. Their bris is spiritual. Our bris is physical. That's why it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant, from Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's a connection with Rav Olson a little bit. Their priests are unmarried. They don't get married. They're bald. They shave off their whole heads. They are completely out of this world. They have no shaychus to our world. They stay out. They keep away. They stay as far out as you possibly can be. They have no real effect on their people. They're the holiest people out there. Somebody even asked me a question. The Pope just came to England. And he said, well, how do Jews reconcile the fact that there were great tzaddikim and great talmidei chachamim that went ahead and separated themselves from Olam Hazeh, from Gashmias Olam Hazeh? We're taught that we're supposed to do the opposite. We're taught that we're supposed to be mekadesh our guf, bring ourselves up in a different way. You must get married. It's usur to not get married. It's strange to not get married. To shave off your head and look weird? You're supposed to be like everybody else. And be mekadesh yourself. And you're supposed to have an aliyah. That's why it was hard for Avraham to do the bris milah in the first place. Why you have to ask opinions of Mamre, Aner, and Eshkol to see from them what should you do. Should you do the bris milah? Should you not do the bris milah? Because the bris milah separates him from the rest of the world. It separates him from everybody. Everybody else has a different way of looking at things. And Avraham said, now I have to get a bris. There's no way I'm going to be attracted. There's no way I'm going to be able to get them. And we don't know this. I can't be positive about this. We know nothing about any gerim that Avraham made after the age of 100. We don't know if there was anybody. Sure, he had the old gerim, but did he make other ones? Yitzchak Avinu had the Be'eros. Yitzchak Avinu had those.
They were all been lost at some point.
At some point, they definitely were lost because Eliezer and Avram left and took most of them with them. That was Og Melech HaBashan and took everything with them. That for sure, there's no question about what Eliezer and Avram did and that the Talmidim left. There's four answers to that question. But regardless, it's clear that there was something there. But that's the idea of what Avram Avinu was afraid of. He was afraid of doing such a thing. He's afraid of that connection. And he knew we're different. And the Baal HaTanya once fought with Rabaruch Mimezhevich. No, Rebbe Mezhevich was the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Rebbe Mezhevich said, how can you argue about this point? I'm the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. The grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Like, I obviously know what I'm talking about. I heard this within the family. It's clearly there. So Baal HaTanya said, I'm also a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Rebbe Baruch looked at him and said, what are you talking about? He said, well, my Rebbe is the Maggid of Mezrich. The Maggid of Mezrich is the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. So I'm a grandson in the Yerusha Senefesh. I have the nefesh of the Baal Shem Tov. I'm a grandson of the nefesh of the Baal Shem Tov. You're a grandson of the goof, granted. But that's there. So here's what Avraham Avinu thought. I know I'm going to have that Yerusha Zanefesh. I realize there's going to be those Talmidim. But he wanted more. Domestic Eliezer is tremendous. I want more. I want that Yerusha Zaguf. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu promised him, Banim Hayotzim Mimeyecha. Children that are going to come from your stomach. He got exactly what he was looking for, and that was Yitzchak Avinu. A child that will be exactly that. Perhaps that's all part of the Nisayim. Perhaps that's the Nisayim of being able to figure out. There's always a lot. There's always something out there. Figure out how when there's a Rebbe, when there's a Rav, when there's somebody that I'm asking questions to, am I connected with them? Maybe I might not have the Yerusha Zaguf, but is there a Yerusha Zanefesh? Lot thought that Yerusha Zanefesh is enough and whatever, and he'll be good enough if he just takes that aside. But you have to strengthen that. It has to be even more so. The Iker by Avraham Avinu was not the Talmidim, it's the children. Sometimes you have to think that way also. Sometimes the Iker is to be able to concentrate on our own kids, not rely on other Rabbim taking care of all their issues, to have it be Yerushas and Nefesh through them. It's got to be Yerushas Aguf. You have to be able to teach your own child what it means to learn Torah, to love Torah, and to do things when it comes to Torah. We give our kids over to Rabbim, and we do that instead, but it doesn't mean that touches you from the responsibility of taking care of your kids yourself. That's the idea behind it, and maybe that's the lesson that we can learn from Lot. So the summary, what was the Nisayan of Lech Lecha? And we have two answers to start, that you have to start somewhere, and not to ask those questions that might pop up into your head. Number two, Makom Goren, he now noticed her beauty. So too with the fight, the fights were caused because of the Makom that they were in. Number three, why Lot went with Avraham Avinu. We thought it was for good reasons, it turned out to be just for money. That caused Avraham Avinu to have Yeush, that's why he got upset and didn't accept Sodom. But in the end, it turns out that the effect that Avraham Avinu had on Lot was tremendous. And Lot was affected by Avraham Avinu. Number four, Avraham Avinu's Yerusha is for his Talmidim and for his kids. The Talmidim was a tremendous Yerusha, but that's not what he concentrated on. He wanted Yerusha straight out for his kids. That was the Iker that he wanted. We'll end with that. Have a good Shabbos. And last